Hi everyone and welcome to Get Real Parental Coaching, the show that will empower, educate and motivate you so that you could be the best parents you could possibly be. I'm your host, Sandra True. Hi everyone, you're listening to Sandra True from Get Real Parental Coaching. So today we have got Leslie Berrington, who is the author and publisher of Hattie and Friends, a series of inclusive storybooks for young children. So we're going to be having a little chat and I hope you'll enjoy our session, and let's not waste any more time. Okay, here we go. Welcome Leslie Berrington to the show. Thank you very much for coming on, Leslie. So Leslie is the author and publisher of Hattie and Friends, a series of inclusive storybooks for young children. Leslie is NNEB qualified, former owner of Stepping Stones Daycare Limited in Lincoln. Leslie opened 3-day nurseries and 2 kids clubs within 4 years. Absolutely amazing. She ran this business for 9 years, and during this time she couldn't find suitable books featuring disability to use in her nurseries. So she decided to create her own. She's also a proud mum of Harriet, dog mum and music fan. Oh my goodness. So that's quite interesting, NNEB. I'm also NNEB qualified.
How are you?
Yeah, and I've only opened 1 nursery, not 3 like you. So well done you. And written a couple of books. Yeah, I'm way behind.
The way I did it was a little bit crazy, to be honest.
Right, well, tell us about that. I want to hear all about that.
Yeah, so in my early career, I was a nanny, and then I worked in various jobs. I found nannying really lonely, actually, because I'm quite a sociable person. I like to be with other people. So, yeah, just nannying on my own was quite lonely, and I thought, I'm not sure if this is for me. And I worked in different jobs, and then I ended up as a retail manager for Toys R Us, and I worked my way up there. So I started off as a part-time member of staff, and I ended up as deputy store manager in Doncaster Store. So I really sort of enjoy starting something and then progressing. I'd worked for Toys R Us for 3 or 4 years, and I love the variety of the job, and I love being with a team and everything else. But I'd kind of miss the children, and I also wanted to start my own family around this time because I was sort of in my late 20s and started thinking about that. And I thought, well, I don't really know what I'm going to do with the rest of my life, you know, because I can't work here where the hours that we were working were ridiculous. So I can't work here and have a family. And then one day I was at the dentist in the waiting room, just reading magazines as you do. And I read about a lady who had started her own nursery because she was looking for nursery places for her children and couldn't find anywhere local that she thought was good enough. And so, of course, by this time I got my qualification, I got some childcare experience, and I got some business experience. So I thought, well, I can do that. I'll put that all together. And within months, I'd opened my first nursery. I left my job at Toys R Us. I found premises and I opened my first nursery. Sort of after the first year, that nursery was full and we had a waiting list, and it was obvious that there was a massive demand in Lincoln for childcare. And it just so happened that Lincoln College had a nursery and they were looking for somebody to take on the contract there. So I applied for that and I got that one. And then a couple of years after that, there was a nursery at the marina, and the people who were running that were looking for somebody to take over. And so I got that one as well. Through running the nurseries, I also realised that once the children got to 4 and they went to school, they also needed after school care and holiday clubs. So 2 of the premises I also opened kids clubs for that reason. So yes, it just kept sort of going. One thing led to another. Within 4 years I'd got 3 nurseries, 2 kids clubs, and I'd actually had my daughter as well at the same time. So it was really crazy.
Right, so you saw the need for kids club for after school care.
Yeah, so I saw there was a need for kids clubs as well, so I opened the 2 kids clubs at 2 of the premises. And so I ended up after 4 years with these nurseries, 40 members of staff and lots of stress. So that kind of led on to other things then, because I was having some health issues and, you know, I was kind of thinking, I don't really want to do this anymore. Very stressful. And at the same time, I had the idea for Hattie and Friends. So that all came about because we had an Ofsted inspection at one of the nurseries, and they said we should reflect diversity more in our resources. After the inspection, I was looking for multicultural resources, resources featuring disability, resources featuring different types of families, all sorts of differences to be represented in the nursery. And the one that I found really difficult to find was children's books featuring disability. So I thought, well, you know, there's a massive gap in the market here, because all the nurseries in the UK, in fact, all the nurseries all over the world must be looking for books like this. And why aren't there any? So after doing a bit more research, I decided that I'd create my own. My daughter, Harriet, was 4 at the time. And I had this idea of writing stories about our days out, because we love going for days out. So the 4 titles of the books are about going for days out with family and friends. And the most important thing to me about the concept of Hattie and Friends was having characters that had disabilities, but that was just incidental, so it wasn't mentioned in the story at all. So that's what I did. I worked with an illustrator, print and design company, and created Hattie and Friends. And then the next year I sold my nursery business and started to chill out a bit more and look after myself a bit more and work on the books.
So how did you get from an idea in your mind to get it into a book?
That's a really good question, because I always say that it was meant to be, because that summer when I had the idea, I was on a business development program, which was local in Lincoln. And it was a 12-week program where there were business leaders from all sorts of different businesses. And it was really interesting. We covered all sorts of things like finance and growing your business and staff recruitment and all sorts of things. And so we'd go one afternoon a week, and this one particular afternoon we were talking about growing our business, and of course this was to do with the nurseries. And I was sitting there thinking, I don't really want to grow my business anymore, you know, I've sort of got to as big as I want to be. And I'd always thought that stepping stones would be a chain, but I'd kind of done what I wanted to do. And I think sometimes for me, it's all about the sort of starting with an idea and progressing with it. And then I'd done that, if you know what I mean. So yes, I was on this course, and everybody was talking about how they were going to grow their business. And I just said, well, I don't really want to grow my current business. However, I have got this idea of writing children's books. And on the course, there was the managing director of a local print and design company called Ruddocks. And Paul said, well, we've actually just published a children's book. I can bring it to show you next week. And he did. And I was really impressed, because like you say, how do you go from that idea of I'd like to create a book? What do you do next? And I wouldn't have had a clue, but he had all the experience. He helped me with the print and the design. He introduced me to the illustrator. He helped me with things like the barcode, ISBN number, things that I wouldn't have known what to do. So basically, within a few months, I'd written the story, Karen had done the illustrations, Paul had helped with all the print and design, and that was June that I started with the story, and by Christmas, I'd got a finished book.
Absolutely amazing. And that was so lucky that you sort of had some connections, and it was just through talking and networking, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. It just shows how important it is, doesn't it, to have these connections.
Oh my goodness. So going back to your books then, you were saying before that in your books, you didn't want the disability highlighted. Yeah. Obviously, you can see it in your books through the illustrations and the pictures and things, but and I really like that, because it doesn't have to be highlighted that I'm in a wheelchair, I'm blind or anything like it. They could just enjoy their story, and children pick up so much from what they see.
Yeah, it was all about showing a positive image of disability and the fact that children, you know, whatever their difference is, they can just go out and have fun together and have a fun day. So that was really important, yeah.
And are your books, are they all different types of disabilities in your book, or are they sort of genders and...
I've tried to consider all sorts of differences. Yeah, it's not just about disability for me. I mean, yes, the concept of Hattie and Friends is featuring positive images of disability. But I've tried to do things like when it's the day at the seaside. So there's Hattie and Lucy go to the seaside and Lucy's blind. So Lucy uses a cane and it's not mentioned in the text, but it would give a children and a carer or a parent the opportunity to talk about that, to talk about why Lucy's got a cane, what she uses it for. And also there's lots of description within the story, like how the sand feels, that they can hear the donkey bells tinkling and things like that. So Lucy experiences the day differently, but also it's their daddies that take them to the seaside, whereas the other stories are mummies, because, you know, not every child has a mummy. And I think that's probably through my experience of being a single parent since Harriet was 8. Harriet hasn't seen her dad at all since she was 8. And so, you know, that's the difference that children feel, and that it's nice to see in a book, oh, well, they're with their daddies. I've only got a daddy, you know, and I think that's important. And when I created each of the characters, I thought about things like hair colour, skin colour, got characters with glasses, just differences, so that children will read the books and hopefully most children will feel represented.
I just love the idea, just absolutely love it, because running my nursery, what I've also found is that the books, if you're buying outside of the traditional books, they can be really expensive.
That was something I thought was really important as well, because when I was looking, everything, if it featured disability, it seemed to be twice as much. And I just thought, well, why is that? So, you know, I've kept the cost low. A set of my books, four books, is £24, including post and packaging, which I think is really good. You just reminded me of something else when we were saying about how other books represented, say, a wheelchair. I found books and they showed a wheelchair, you know, as a special power or as being magic or something like that. And I really didn't want that. I mean, that's okay if you're doing a sort of fantasy type story. But basically, my days are about going out for a day out. And the children, you know, have a regular day out. So I didn't want it to be anything special. And I think that's important too.
So what about your daughter, Hattie? How does she feel about her mum writing all these books and you're reading actually the books that you've created to her?
Well, I think at the time, she didn't really think much about it because she was only quite little. And maybe she thought every child had a mum who wrote stories, you know what I mean, who wrote books, who had boxes of books all over their house. Point really, every child, just they only have their own experience in their life, don't they, in their house and with their family group and everything. And so it's important to show them that, you know, all children are different. We all have differences. And so, you know, that's it's there, but it doesn't matter. So, yes, Harriet, we've never called Harriet Hattie. She's just Harriet. So that's quite funny. And yes. Sometimes she's quite impressed with being Hattie in the books and sometimes she's probably quite embarrassed about it. So I always tell the children when I go on school visits, I always talk to them about creating Hattie, the character. And I'll say that she was inspired by my daughter, Harriet, who at the time she'd had her hair cut short into a little brown bob because she was going to big school for the first time. And she thought that was very grown up. And she loved wearing pink and purple. So you'll always see Hattie in pink and purple. And then I'll show them the seaside front cover and saying, even when she goes to the seaside, she's got a little purple shorts on. So yeah, Harriet probably thinks that that's a bit embarrassing.
And how young, Leslie, would you say children can start looking at those types of books? Just in case some parents think that they have to wait for their child to reach 4 or 5 before they can start looking at those books.
Oh, yeah, I think that any books should be read to children and shown to children from very early age, from when they're babies. I think probably just because my books are paper and not board books, then probably letting the children look at them themselves is probably more when they're 3. I was aiming for a sort of 3 to 5 age group. But having said that, I go into schools and I find that the older ones, kind of the 6 to 8, love reading themselves as well. So really, they're for all young children. When they're younger, they'll just be looking at the pictures and hopefully they'll be their grown up will be reading to them and they'll just enjoy the story. Because it's familiar themes of going out to the seaside and the park and the farm, they enjoy that. They can relate to it, really. So, yeah, just from an early age, I would say, from probably 2.
And there's no reason why they can't be read those stories and they can look at the pictures, as you say, anyway, from
no
an early
reason
age.
At all. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's just watching them when they're a bit little because they tend to tear pages, don't they?
Of course, of course. Of
and
course.
I was just recently looking at having some Hattie and Friends board books, actually, for younger children. And it's really difficult to get board books made in the UK, so I'm still working on that one. But people have asked me for board books before, so obviously they will be better for younger children for them to literally get hands-on with the Hattie and Friends stories. But there's no reason at all why they can't be read to the child when they're quite young.
And I wonder why it's so hard to get hold of board books.
I really don't know, because I've only just started looking recently, and it just seems that you have to have them made in China, which I think is a real shame. You know, I like to support UK businesses and hopefully I'm having some new products made next year and they will be wooden jigsaws and some wooden Small World characters, some little Hattie and Friends characters, which I think will be really cute. And the children can then make up their own stories with the characters and with the animals. So that'll be lovely. There's a company that I use in Alfreton in Derbyshire, Just Jigsaws. And they're fantastic. So, yeah, I wish I could find somewhere like that for board books. So if anybody knows, please let me know.
Yes, absolutely. So where else do you go to sort of promote your book?
Of course, it's difficult. Well, it has been difficult during COVID. So I was kind of confined to Hattie HQ for 18 months. And that meant that I spent a lot of time on social media, and I've made lots of really fantastic contact, mainly in education. So yeah, I've sort of spent the time just building up my social media following, particularly on Twitter as well, which has been great. But now that I can get out a bit more, I've done 13 primary school visits this term, which have all been in the North Lincolnshire area.
Okay.
And yeah, I'll just carry on with those really. I also like to go to festivals. I do Newark Book Festival every July. I do sometimes childcare conferences, things like that, child minding event, anything that I'm invited to go to really, where I can promote my books. There's such a sort of broad interest for these books, because it can go into health and education, parenting. You know, all parents, I believe, should have some inclusive storybooks on their bookshelf.
And also the libraries, they tend to have a parental shelf anyway, don't they? In the bigger libraries anyway.
Yeah.
So they definitely should and need, not even should, they, I think it's a need.
Yes.
To be on there.
Yes. I haven't actually done any library visits yet, because of course they do story time and things like that, don't they? But that is something that I could do. It's just always trying to fit things in, isn't it?
So did you sell all of your nurseries then? I know you said you sold one.
I sold the nursery group in 2006. And yeah, so then the following years were kind of quite difficult, because I was juggling with my health and being a single parent, and I had to work various different jobs. So as Harriet went to secondary school, I got a job in the local theatre, which I was doing the administration and marketing, and I worked there for about 6.5 years. I learned so much about marketing, you know, which really helps me with Hattie and Friends as well. So it's been a long time since I wrote the first story, but I've never worked on Hattie and Friends full time until quite recently, because I've always been juggling different jobs and Harriet and health and everything. But now that Harriet's older, and I left the theatre in 2019, and so yeah, I'm full time Hattie now, which is great.
Absolutely. Oh, well done you though. Really well. And it sounds like you've got lots more to come.
I think there is a lot more to come. I mean, it just shows the demand is there, because even when I was working on Hattie and Friends just part-time amongst other things, I had 2,000 of each of the books printed, and I sold all of those. In 2019, I had the second editions printed. So I'm now selling the second editions. The layout's changed. They're much improved, I think. And so I'm still progressing. I'm still working on it. You learn all the time. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to having new products as well. But I feel like I've got a really fantastic range, or I will have. And I think there's big demand. So I just need to get the message out there, really, get the word out about my book.
What advice would you give parents who doesn't think that books do anything, or, oh, they're just books? You know, some parents can be quite blasé about books and they don't find the time, which I think is so, so important. Any advice for them?
Yeah, well, since I did the second edition of my books, I put some notes on inclusion at the back. And that's really because some parents might not really understand the worth of why we're doing this with the positive images. I sell a lot of my books to educators, and they sort of understand why we're doing it and value the need for inclusive books. But, you know, when you're a parent, you're not trained in these things, are you? So you don't particularly know. So hopefully the notes on inclusion do help a little bit explaining what that's for. But I think just generally, it's so important to read with children, because it's a really important time when you can be together with your child, just one-on-one, and you can just sit and have a cuddle and get, you know, all snuggly and read a book. It helps with routine, and it's very comforting, like in times like we've got at the moment, where children can feel quite anxious and worried about things. Just having that routine and that comfort with a parent or a carer is really important. I always made sure that I read to Harriet every night. We read picture books, and then as she got older, a chapter of her chapter book. She used to like the rainbow magic books and things like that. Even until she went to secondary school, you know, we'd just read every night. And I think that's so important. And I think it's really helped her, because she's obviously gone on to be quite studious.
And you're right. It's not even just about reading to them. It's about the connection, cuddling, that bonding time together. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and even when they reach a stage where they start reading, they're still reading to you while you're still having the cuddles and the snuggles.
It's a really special time, isn't it? And I think in terms of, you know, why these books are important is that, you know, the children do take in everything they see and they will notice that there are differences, but they'll see that that's fine and they'll just accept it. I talk to the children in primary schools and I don't talk about inclusion. I don't talk about disability. Sometimes I do right at the end, but my talk is about being an author, and that's hopefully just inspiring their creativity and their imagination. And I absolutely love seeing at the end that so many of them want to be an author or be an illustrator when they get older. But yeah, it's not even about the inclusion and the disability. I'll say to the children at the end, can anybody spot any differences in my characters? And sometimes they'll just be going through all these things like, oh, well, Hattie's got a pink T-shirt on and Nisha's got a white T-shirt. And I'm saying, well, yes, but... And I'm trying to get them to spot the disability. And they honestly don't. When I point it out to them, they'll say, oh, yes. So we've just listened to that story about the fall. And Nisha had leg braces on and crutches, but that didn't matter. Because even when she went on the swing, the crutches were to the side. And she still had fun on the swing. Do you know what I mean? It all comes together, but they think, oh, yeah, that's interesting. And the room goes quiet, and I love that. It's so funny.
Tell us a story about where you experienced a challenge or a major event that you had to recover from.
Yeah, well, I would say that really that was, you know, when I had to sell the nurseries, because I had got to that point where I just kind of started to lose interest because I just wasn't well. You know, I'd been diagnosed with ME, chronic fatigue syndrome, and I just had so many issues going on, and I found it hard working full time and looking after Harriet and everything. So, but it was also hard to let go of the nursery business because, you know, it was mine. It was my business.
Your baby.
It was my baby. And I'd brought it from absolutely nothing. When we opened the first nursery, I had 3 members of staff and me and 1 baby booked in, and I built that up to 3 nurseries that were absolutely full to bursting and 2 kids clubs and, you know, fantastic reputation, everything. I'm really proud of that, and it was really hard to let that go. But the doctor said to me, you know, you will not get better until you start to look after yourself and take time for your own health. And so, you know, I thought, well, I've got to. So that's what I did. But it was really hard to sort of learn to relax more, build up my health again slowly, and to prioritise what was important. You know, it was more important to look after my health, to look after Harriet, enjoy time with my family. And so, yeah, that's why sort of Hattie and Friends, again, that was this fantastic baby of mine that I wanted to work on. But I had to think, no, I can't at the moment, because I've got to prioritise and I've got to do what's important. And that's why it's kind of been on the back burner for quite a while. And it comes to the front again, and then I do some work on it, and then I think, no, I can't. You know, I mean, for example, I've moved house this year, and that's all very stressful and very time consuming. So sometimes I know now I just have to say, no, I can't do any more work this week because I've done enough. So things do have to wait. But I think that's probably quite a good lesson to learn, really.
Just sort of managing your time, which was going to be my next question, was how do you manage your time effectively?
I'm a real list maker. I make lists and lists. I've got several lists on the go at the moment. Yeah, I look at my list and I think, right, what do I prioritize today? What do I need to do today? That goes to the top of the list. And then at the end of the day, when I'm ready to have my tea and I think, right, I've done enough today, you know, things are moved forward to tomorrow. And that's basically how it works, because if it doesn't get done, I realize now I just can't keep going all evening till everything's done. So it'll have to wait.
Good for you. So what's your plans, Leslie, for the next 5 years?
So as I was saying, I've got these new products that I'm hoping to come out next year. So I've applied for some local funding for that, which would be fantastic if I can get that. And that will be new jigsaws and the small world characters. So I'll be getting those in production and then promoting those next year. Carrying on with social media every day like I do to keep the promotion going. And yes, the other thing is, I've applied for some Arts Council funding, and if I'm successful with that, I would put it towards working on a Hattie and Friends animation, because I would absolutely love to see Hattie and Friends on television. There's just nothing on television that features disability like Hattie and Friends, so I think it deserves to be there, so I'm working on that one at the moment as well.
Well, that sounds brilliant. You've got loads of things up your sleeve. You're still going.
Yeah, I am.
I love it. Absolutely love it. So I'm not going to take up any more of your time. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about Hattie and Friends. And where can people get hold of you, Leslie, more importantly about Hattie and Friends?
Oh, you're welcome. I've really enjoyed our little chat. I'm always on Twitter, which is at Hattie's Friends. I have a website, which is hattieandfriends.co.uk. And on the website, you can see all the products. You can buy on the website with free PMP. And there's also a blog on there, which I update regularly with any writing that I've been doing or any events that I've been to and pictures and things like that. Interviews I will often put on there. So yeah, it's worth having a little look and see what's been going on. And then I've got Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn, but I'm on Twitter most of the time, so if you go to @Hattie's Friends you'll find me there.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Leslie. It's been great having you on the show. I hope you can come back on and hear about the other when the jigsaws come out and everything.
Oh yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, thank you ever so much.
All right, thank you. Take care.
Bye.
That
was a great chat with Leslie Berrington, author of Hattie and Friends. So the thing there was to take away was that there's no age limit on books. You can read books to children of any age, and even when they get to an age where they're old enough to read the books themselves, it's really important to have that connection with your child, the cuddling, the bedtime, during the day, if they want to read, it's so important, and it's very beneficial as well. So if you haven't started reading with your children, it's never too late, because I'm sure they'll enjoy it, and you'll enjoy it too, to listen to their progress. And also the types of books that you're buying. Leslie's selling her books, and they are inclusive books, and we are definitely short of those. They're a very good price, so go ahead and check them out. And thanks again, Leslie. I'll put all her details down below, so if you want to contact her or ask her any questions, that would be great. So remember that this podcast is bi-weekly, every 2 weeks. Look forward to hearing from you soon. Take care. Bye.